So I do want to apologize in advance to the Chop Shoppers, the listeners out there, for the sound of my voice. I am desperately trying to recover from a cold. So if my voice doesn't sound quite as crisp or as charismatic or as genuinely gorgeous as it normally does, that's the reason why. However, this is not a vocal vanity podcast. Welcome to Season 6, Episode 2 of Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen, so why shouldn't movie buffs
like us
decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
Down and Out in Traverly Hills.
Yes. And I am joined, as always here in the shop, by my co-host and co-producer, Sean's From a Mall, a.k.a. Outrageous for Sean. I might have used that one before. In addition, we are extremely excited to welcome back to the show for her one-peat. She's starting her one-peat. Chella, a.k.a. Isn't Chelsea great?
Yes, she is.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for
having me. How's your holidays going so far?
I've been working a lot.
I noticed your sweater.
Yeah, it was ugly Christmas sweater day at work, but nobody got to see mine.
Oh, really? Because you would have won.
I know, right?
It was just under a lab coat the whole time?
Yes.
Further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. Quick disclaimer, we are not actually in favor of the remake, reboot, sequel-dependent cinematic culture that is currently permeating Hollywood. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
All right, so that will bring us into movie news for this week. And this is a rarity. I don't think that this has ever happened before. We've got three RIPs at the top of movie news this week. Yep. First... I think first goes to Carol Spinney, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Carol Spinney, who played Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street. He died at the age of 85. Now, it's my understanding that he was not in great health over the past couple years.
Right.
There was a documentary about him called I Am Big Bird.
Yes.
Came out a few years ago that was very good. So rest in peace to him. Any Sesame Street stories, Chelsea?
No.
Okay.
I've seen
okay.
a lot.
Then also next up, as of today, this just broke today, the great Danny Aiello has died at the age of 86. Famous for Moonstruck and Do the Right Thing,
right.
And many, many other roles. Kind of typecast a little bit as a New York tough guy, but just a great stage presence and screen presence. What do you think?
I liked him. I like the stuff I've seen him in.
And then our third RIP is that beloved Star Trek Deep Space Nine actor Rene Auberjonois, or Jeannot, I'm not sure, Auberjonois, I think it means eggplant, has died at the age of 79. Do we know how he died?
I do not know.
Me neither.
Probably he got sucked out of the air hatch.
The airlock, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he famously played Odo, the security officer. Joey, correct me on that if I'm wrong. And in film, he played the Padre, Father Mulcahy, in MASH, the original
Oh,
MASH.
Okay. So an earlier...
Mulcahy?
All right. And then moving beyond RIPs, RIP to those three people... And then moving on from there, we've got Jonathan Groff, who we know from Mindhunter.
And he's, Glee.
And Glee? Was he on Glee? Really?
Oh, hell yes, he was on Glee.
Who was he on Glee?
He was part of, like,
the
in
staff,
the
staff, the faculty?
No. In the earlier seasons, the group that they competed against, I can't think of their name.
Was he like the other teacher or something?
No,
or was he in the group.
He was in the group.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm picturing him as a faculty member.
No.
So anyway, he's going to join the cast of The Matrix 4, which apparently is going to happen.
And it's dropping on the same day as John Wick 4.
John Wick 4. Okay. So apparently Keanu Reeves isn't going to be in it, Is that what I'm? Is he going to have two movies that come out on the same day?
I don't know.
That's crazy. We saw a op-ed piece that says, "Baby Yoda, the Mandalorian star, isn't real, but why shouldn't it compete for awards?" And I like that they used the
genderless it.
Yeah, because we don't know.
No, we don't.
Baby Yoda could be a girl. But yeah, like, why shouldn't a CGI character be up for an award?
It raises a great question, because now that we're getting into this gray area of actors de-aging with CGI,
fully in the uncanny valley.
Right. Where's the meeting point where it stops being an actor on screen and becomes something else, and vice versa?
All right. And then you sent me a link to a trailer, which I did not watch, but it's for a movie called Beyond the Law. And it is the return of Steven Seagal,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And he's teaming up with DMX.
You've got to look up this trailer. It's awesome.
Can you give me like a basic premise?
No.
Does he save Alaska?
It's a tough guy action flick with lots of guns and bad lighting. And Steven Seagal has like one line in the trailer, and he goes, "Tell me that a mutter time," or something terrible.
So apparently DMX got work release for the shoot.
Right. I have one more piece of movie news.
Okay.
We talked about the film adaptation of Akira a few weeks ago. It's now off the schedule.
Meaning they're behind schedule?
It's been removed from the release schedule.
Okay.
With no further information.
Interesting. Mm. Shelved. All right, well, does that wrap us up on movie news?
Yes.
All right, so with that, we're going to go into our next segment, waiting for the phone to ring. There it is. It's time for the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Hello, my chopper children. This is Sister Dana Elizabeth of the Reformation. Sean, brilliant use of the More You Know jingle. I have to wonder, was there any foot footage in the Quentin Tarantino documentary? Sean is right, I do love Spaced. Hello, Brian. All I have is commentary this week. You've done well. Nothing is worthy of knuckle wrapping. The Lord and I are kind and merciful, so you both get extra time in the yard this week. Kyrie eleison.
All right, Dana, I don't know if it's my Catholic guilt or Catholic intrigue, but I thoroughly enjoyed that department. Thank you very much. All right, so that will close the doors on the Department of Corrections Department for this week. Time for the theme of the episode. I bet you don't know what it is.
I bet I do.
It's in honor of her recent birthday, and I'm thinking 76th. Pretty sure it's her 76th birthday. This past December 1st, we're talking about the films of Bette Midler. Now, we were going to do this closer to the beginning of the month, closer to the time, but to accommodate our guest, we did a little reshuffling.
Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you gingers got to stick together. So.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about what the Divine Miss M means to you.
It's complete nostalgia.
Okay.
I grew up kind of watching a couple of her movies, which I'll talk about in my double feature. But the funniest story, and I was telling Sean about this, my mom had some dental surgery.
Okay.
And they broke her jaw. So she was like, she came home and she was high as a kite. And it was when Bette Midler's TV show had just come out.
Wait, what TV show? I don't know.
She had a TV show.
Was it the Bette Midler show?
I don't know. It was like a sitcom. It kind of reminded me of Reba.
Malcolm in the Midler.
I don't remember what it was.
Fair to Midland.
Maybe.
No, I think it was just called Bette.
It could have been. I don't really remember.
All bets are off.
But the theme song was super, super annoying, and she sang it, and my mom was sitting in her chair doing this stupid-ass dance because she was high. Oh, my God. It was so funny. It was so funny. I love it.
Okay.
So every time somebody says Bette Midler, I just think of my mom dancing in this chair, and it's wonderful.
Awesome. Very cool. Sean, thoughts?
I don't like Bette Midler.
You don't like her. Okay.
Sorry, folks.
Well, then
surprise.
I'm somewhere in between the two of you.
Are you in the Midler?
I'm in the Midler, the two of you. I don't have any ill feelings towards her, but she's also, I'm not like a huge fan. I can appreciate the fact that she's a double threat and she's done some really, really diverse performances throughout mm-hmm. her career. We talked about one of her movies about a year ago. It was her first motion picture.
It was called The Thorn.
The Thorn, and she blocked the distribution of that film.
Correct.
Very interesting. All right, well, with that, we're going to go ahead and get into Bette Midler with our first segment, which is the Midnight Double Feature. This is where we go around the panel, and we each mention two films that are within the theme of the episode and talk about why they would be good pairings for a double feature. And Chelsea, as our guest, would you like to go first?
Sure. My double feature is totally just like based on me. It would be good for me to watch them in a double feature. The first one is 1991's For the Boys.
Uh-huh.
Basically, Bette Midler is a USO performer, or she gets brought on, and then the main guy gets jealous and doesn't really want anything to do with her. But it's the movie where she sings Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
Yep.
And I grew up doing dance. I did a tap dance to that song in competition.
No shit.
Oh, yeah. And so I love that movie. When I heard that song, I was like, oh.
Also directed by Mark Rydell, who also directed her in The Rose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then the other one is 1993's Gypsy, which a lot of the songs in this movie, there's really embarrassing footage of me like singing along with this.
And, oh,
like,
good.
Oh, yeah.
VHS?
Who knows? Probably. Like those little tapes that
we're going to download it.
Yeah, those little tapes that go inside the VHS. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mini VHS.
Oh, like, yeah, from the camcorder.
Oh yeah. Gotcha. There's tons of that footage. But I watched this movie all the time when I was younger. I was obsessed. Why? I don't know.
Very good. All right, Sean, double feature.
Awesome. All right, so having previously said I'm not a fan of Bette Midler, it will come as no surprise why I picked these two. First is 1995's Get Shorty.
Okay.
Starring Gene Hackman, Rene Russo, Danny DeVito, John Travolta.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this based on an Elmore Leonard novel?
Correct. Correct. And directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. It is the amalgamation of mafia hitman mythos with Hollywood insider mm-hmm. stories. It's a great story. It's a lot of fun.
A lot of quippy dialogue.
Yes, yes. Mobster travels to Hollywood to collect a debt and discovers that the movie business is much the same as his current job. Bette Midler is uncredited in this. She plays the role of Doris Saffron.
Okay.
And she famously is the former or current side piece for Gene Hackman's character.
He's just mad about Saffron.
She shows up at his door and whips open her overcoat, and she's wearing a little bustier-type lingerie okay. deal.
Nice.
So, and that's pretty much it. She has about 5 minutes of screen time, which is just enough of Bette Midler for me. So I'm pairing that one with 2000's Drowning Mona.
Okay.
This was written by Peter Steinfeld, directed by Nick Gomez, and it stars Danny DeVito, Bette Midler, Neve Campbell, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Bette Midler dies at the very beginning of the movie. So...
I thought that's where you were going.
There we go.
This movie was not very well received.
Now, she's in the film throughout and through flashbacks about what kind of a horrible person she was. The reason this film was not well received is because it was billed as a comedy and it falls grossly flat. It is not funny.
Right.
A lot of the jokes don't land. And it's just, and the resolution is anticlimactic. And that's where it really falls apart. However, there are some other people in here. A very young Casey Affleck is in the cast. Huh. Tracy Walter, who recently passed away, he is in it. You'll remember him from Blade Runner and a few other things. Will Ferrell is in it along with Melissa McCarthy. This is from 2000, so
okay.
Will Ferrell, somewhat known, and Melissa McCarthy,
completely hardly unknown.
But they were into some kinky sex, and there's a scene where there's like a one of the characters is in a hotel room, CD motel room, and they're having a loud argument of some kind, And you hear Will Ferrell yelling across the way. He goes, "Would you please keep it down? We're paying this by the hour." And they're both standing in the doorway wearing this like really elaborate S&M type
getup. Gotcha.
Seth Rogen's in it uncredited, very briefly.
Wow.
You see him in the background. So a lot of neat things about the film, but it's not a good movie. I do not recommend Drowning Mona whatsoever.
The other one.
Get Shorty, I will recommend.
Okay.
Yeah, Get Shorty's fun.
So speaking of small parts early on in people's career and for the boys, Vince Vaughn shows up as a soldier in the crowd.
Really?
As uncredited. I just saw it yesterday, but there's a couple of like early cameos in For the Boys. All right, well, I guess it's my turn. I'm going with my Midnight Double feature. Both of these films are from 1986. That's the first tie that binds. The connective tissue, if you will. The first one is directed by Zucker, Abrams, and Zucker.
Oh.
Who were the comedy team behind such hits as Kentucky Fried Movie, Airplane, Police Squad, which later became The Naked Gun. So it's called Ruthless People, and it's got a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is about Sam Stone, played by Danny DeVito, who hates his wife, who's played by Bette Midler. Her name is Barbara.
That's three films that they're in together.
Yes, and her name is Barbara.
Okay.
And so when two bumbling kidnappers try to hold her for ransom, he's absolutely elated. He wants this to happen. And he has no plan of paying the $500,000 ransom. So then the kidnappers, who are played by Judge Reinhold and Helen Slater,
she's
a super girl, have to figure out how they're going to get their money and what they're going to do with the overbearing Barbara. All right? And then I'm going to pair that with, also from 1986, Down and Out in Beverly Hills. Now, this was directed by Paul Mazursky. He doesn't have shit else for credits. I mean, there's a couple, but they're not good. He was mostly a writer. This has an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes. Unlucky and homeless, Dave, played by Nick Nolte, decides to call it quits and so sneaks into a stranger's backyard and tries to drown himself in the pool. However, Jerry's plans are stopped by the pool's owner, white-collar businessman Dave, played by Richard Dreyfuss, who pulls the tramp out of the water and into his home. But Dave's hospitality and his status-obsessed wife, Barbara, played by Bette Midler, don't impress Jerry, who ignores them and instead pursues the family's maid, Carmen, played by Elizabeth Peña. So, we've got two overbearing, status-obsessed wives named Barbara, played by Bette Midler in 1986. And that's my double feature. It is Ruthless People and Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
We need to get like a remote control for your thing.
I know, right?
And you just click it.
No. Enough about my sex life. So, recommends on both of those for me. I haven't seen them in a long time. I was probably a kid when I saw both of them, but I thoroughly enjoyed them. And the resume speaks for itself. Chelsea, did you give us recommends?
I recommend finding the footage of me singing the gypsy songs. Yes. I'm sure that's good for a laugh.
Very nice. All right. So that will wrap us up on the Midnight Double feature for this week. And move it into our feature segment, which is the recast. And the recast is where we take a film from the catalog of the subject at hand, this week being Bette Midler, and then we talk about it a little bit and hypothetically recast the lead roles with contemporary actors. Actors who are
at the height of their powers.
I gotta stop yelling. I'm totally gonna lose my voice. All right, so the first movie that we're going to recast is called Beaches from 1988.
From the beginning, C.C. Bloom wanted to be a star.
That's the story of me.
And Hillary Whitney was her biggest fan.
You're the best singer I ever saw.
You think I'm really, truly talented?
I think you're truly talented. I've told you this at least 8 million times.
And with a friendship that began 30 years ago at the beach.
You just happen to be the most fantastic person I've ever met in my entire life.
I am?
They shared good times.
The Times says C.C. Bloom's performance is both promising and purposeful.
And bad times.
March! Have a drink on me. I was a big hit.
Through it all, Hillary stood by her side.
Guess who got the lead in the Falcon Players' new musical?
I want to congratulate you for winning the Tony.
Did you see those three other broads gnashing their teeth? Ha ha, it was great, wasn't it?
Through marriage.
And I pronounce you man and wife.
What'd you do that for?
This is the happiest moment of my life. I don't ever want you to forget it.
Through breakups.
You caught Michael with another woman?
Yes.
And now you're going to have a baby all on your own?
Having a baby without a father, am I being selfish?
All great love is selfish.
And through their differences.
You did everything you said you were going to do, everything!
You're smart, you're beautiful, you have hair that moves.
Their friendship would last forever.
You're gonna be my partner in this.
Oh, I made a terrible mistake.
Touchstone Pictures presents Academy Award nominee, Bette Midler.
But enough about me, let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
And Barbara Hershey.
You maniac!
Are you always like this?
No.
Good. Then you can stay.
In a motion picture about relationships.
I'm a womanizer, CC. I'm not a liar.
I'll see you back home on Monday.
You're lucky.
About laughter.
Go back, you brain damaged bag of bones, or I'll have you gagged.
Hi, Marge. How's life treating you?
About life.
Could be dead. Nah. If she was dead, she would have dropped the bottle.
Beaches.
What a pair.
Once in a lifetime, you make a friendship that lasts forever.
It was directed by the late Gary Marshall. It's only got a 39%.
That's not right.
Rotten Tomatoes.
I believe it.
Shut up, Sean.
I saw this movie and the other movie that we're going to recast at my grandma's house on VHS. So thank you, Grandma Patty, for that. Shout out, Grandma Patty. She listens. So this is a story of Hillary, played by Barbara Hershey, and Cece, played by Bette Midler, who meet as children vacationing in Atlantic City in New Jersey on the boardwalk and remain friends throughout the decades. As Cece, a loud New Yorker, pursues a singing career, Hillary, a staid Californian, becomes a successful lawyer. Over the years, they often quarrel and compete, but other relationships flourish and die. The two women are always there for each other, traveling from coast to coast through the most tumultuous times. Hillary, that's a character in this movie. Chelsea, please tell us how you feel about Beaches.
I love this movie.
Okay.
Why?
And because?
It's just a beautiful movie about friendships and connection.
Sisterhood.
And yeah, I mean, all these things that sort of play into the feels for, I guess, females. Or anyone with a heart other than Sean.
Because I'm heartless.
You are.
I think that Bette Midler might have had a cameo in one of those sisterhood movies, The Divine Secrets of the Traveling Pants.
I think it's the
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
No, I think it's
Yaya.
Yes, that one.
All right. Well,
I don't like this movie.
That's fine.
Everyone who likes the movie, I get what they're saying. It's very heartfelt in terms of what it is. You liken it to a friendship that you've had or a friendship that you've lost. And that's where the connection comes from. The film itself is horribly telegraphed. Every plot turn is just signaled from miles away. So you know what's going to happen. And that's just not a good film. You just passively sit back and watch it, I guess.
So the way we're going to do this in terms of the recast is we're going to recast Cece and Hillary as adults, and then also the younger versions of them in flashbacks. So we've got Cece, Cecilia Carol Bloom, played by Bette Midler, who was 43 at the time. Then we've got Hillary Whitney, played by Barbara Hershey, who was 40 at the time. Barbara just keeps coming up. And then we've got, say her name, Sean.
Who?
Mayim Bialik.
was it Mayim Bialik?
Mayim Bialik, aka Blossom, playing the young Cece at 11 years old, and then Marcy Leeds playing. I know how to pronounce that one. Marcy Leeds playing 11-year-old Hillary Whitney. Now Marcy Leeds was actually 11, but Mayim Bialik was 13.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At the time. All right. So are we ready?
Ready.
All right. So first up, we've got the role of Cecilia Carol Bloom, a.k.a. Cece Bloom.
C-section Bloom.
Cece. Clarence Carter. All right, so, Chelsea, would you give us your recast?
Sure. My pick is not really going to make a whole lot of sense until I give her counterpart.
Cast?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
She's not a tough New Yorker, but I still think she can kind of get the essence of Cece. Mm-hmm. She was in Frozen, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to use Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like her.
I do too. I think she can do a good job.
Every time a Kristen Bell rings, a Dax Shepard gets his wings. All right, Sean, who's going to be your Cece?
All right, well, my recast is also 43 years old. She is a New Yorker. She is of Jewish descent.
Okay, good. I'm glad you mentioned that because I went that route as well.
And she can sing. You will know her from Scooby-Doo, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Cruel Intentions, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Gotcha. My sister's doppelganger. My Cece is 39 now. She is of Jewish heritage, and she is in some films called Shark in Venice. She's also in a movie called The Objective, and she's in the remake of Day of the Dead. Her name is Vanessa Johansson. Vanessa Johansson is the not as famous sister of Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's what I went with.
I like cool. it.
Next up, we've got Hershey's Kisses herself. We've been talking a lot about her lately.
Yeah, we have.
I've been on like every episode that she's been on.
Really? There must be some
sort
of...
we were fighting.
Kismet. Maybe the two of you are...
No, please don't.
In a traveling pants sisterhood.
We are not. We are not.
Barbara Hershey was 40 at the time playing Hillary Whitney. Now that you're not in a sisterhood with her, who would you recast?
Somebody that I would cast as my sister. She was in Jurassic World.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of other stuff. The Help.
Mm-hmm.
I cast her last week.
You did cast her last week, but I'm going to do Bryce Dallas Howard.
Bryce Dallas Howard, not Jessica Chastain.
So now we have two redheads in the same movie.
But they were both in The Help.
But how can you tell them apart?
Jessica Chastain and Bryce Dallas Howard were both in The Help, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think Bryce and Kristen Bell together kind of would have that same vibe. That
you flipped the redhead script.
I did, but I didn't think she was right for the Cece role.
It's transginger.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, who are you gonna pick for Hillary Whitney?
I'm gonna pick a 41-year-old actress who is of Dominican and Puerto Rican descent. So I'm going a little bit different with how mm-hmm. she's presented, but
make it a little spicy.
She is elegant and very sophisticated in her own right. It's going to be dead giveaways. She was in Avatar, Star Trek, and Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm going with
Zoe Kravitz?
No, not Zoe Kravitz. Zoe Saldana.
Oh, Zoe Saldana. Okay, cool. You know, I always forget that Lisa Bonet is Zoe Kravitz's mom.
I know, right?
It's
makes
crazy.
You feel old.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess it's my turn. My Hillary Whitney is 37 now. She's a little bit younger. She's mostly a comedic actress / comedian. She was in The Ridiculous Six. She's in Grizzly Park. And she was in The Wedding Ringer. Her name is Whitney Cummings. Whitney Cummings is going to be my Barbara Hershey Hillary Whitney.
I can buy
Sweet.
That.
Yeah.
Sweet.
She's not my favorite person in the world, but
neither is Barbara Hershey, right?
You're right. It's a pretty good recast.
All right, next up, we're going to the younger versions, the younger iterations of these characters. The 11-year-old Cece was played by Maim Bialik, who also, of course, famously played Blossom and is now a recurring character on The Big Bang Theory.
Is that show still going on? Or
I don't
is it
know,
over?
Man.
I think
I
it's over.
Is it? Thank the Lord.
Chelsea, tell us about...
Thank the Chuck Lorre.
Chelsea, tell us about Maim Bialik.
Oh, my God. She, I mean, she's super smart. She's an actual, like, neuroscientist.
Like a Mensa member.
But she spews fucking nonsense. She's into this attached parenting, which basically means from birth, like, you're holding the baby or it's you're wearing the baby. And then she has this...
Like as a scarf?
No, like in a baby wrap. Like they're just always near you. She'll like breastfeed them until they're like 22. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's that old, but it's pretty old. And then the one that drives me nuts is she believes that you can potty train like a 6-month-old. And that's just not the case
well,
at all.
I do know that you can teach a cat to use the toilet. So if you can teach a cat to use the toilet, you can probably teach a 6-month-old baby.
You cannot.
Babies are smarter than cats.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not saying babies are dumb, but...
I think that you actually just went on record and said that babies are dumber than cats.
If you would let me finish. At six months old, the neurons that babies have, like the sheaths, haven't fully developed. They physically cannot feel what a full bladder feels like. That's why that you cannot potty train them. They're not stupid.
Maybe
they just,
she's got a genius baby.
She just makes it a habit. Which is not really potty training. It's just like, oh, it's 12. Better go sit on the potty.
We've really got off the rails
Sorry.
Here on the
Sorry.
Description of the actress who's playing the young Cece. She was 13 at the time. And who did you recast? Is it somebody you're really mad at for their personal beliefs?
No. No, but you have to have somebody that is dramatic because she was very dramatic. And my actress... I guess we can call her an actress. I'd call her a dancer more. But she was in the movie Leap. She did a voice.
Leap.
She was...
Leap of Faith?
No, it's just... It's like an animated movie called Leap.
Leap.
She was in a lot of Sia music videos. And she
Isn't
was
that
on
a little girl?
And she was on Dance Moms. It's Maddie Ziegler.
Okay, yeah.
Because
yeah, she's the one in the Chandeliers video, right?
Yeah,
yeah, she's good.
Mm-hmm.
She's good. Now I'm just thinking about Peanut Butter Falcon.
So good.
All right, Sean, who's going to be your young Cece?
First of all, Maim Bialik was the best part of this movie, in my opinion.
Okay,
she was really, really good at capturing Bette Midler's.
Yeah,
yeah, she was.
That's true.
As a kid, I mean, that's pretty accomplished in my opinion to really nail her persona. But anyway, keeping in mind that I had cast Sarah Michelle Gellar as my Cece, I went with a 13-year-old, and I really liked her in the movie Wonder. She was also in Travelers, as well as a stint on the TV show Once Upon a Time as Young Alice. Her name is Elle McKinnon.
Okay.
Elle McKinnon. I think she was the girl that was grossed out by the boy in Wonder. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wonder.
Okay.
He wore the helmet, the space helmet, because his face was kind of like...
Oh, yeah, with Zach...
Or...
What's his name?
Jacob.
Zach Braff, right? Isn't Zach Braff?
Oh, yeah, I think he's in that, but it's...
Tremblay.
Yeah.
Jacob Tremblay. Oh, I'm thinking of a different movie.
No, you're thinking it's Owen Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
That's in it.
I'm thinking of a different Zach Braff movie also where the kid wears a space helmet.
Correct.
My actress, I had a hard time with this one, guys, with the kids.
It was
so I just
difficult.
Went kind of Disney. I went kind of Disney Channel. So my actress who's going to play the young Cece is in Descendants 3. She's also in To All the Boys I've Ever Loved. She's also in Odd Squad. Her name is Anna Cathcart. Anna Cathcart is going to be my young Cece. And that's really all I have to say about her, because I don't know shit about her.
Me neither.
All right, next up, we've got the role of Hillary Whitney, the young Hillary Whitney, played by Marcy Leeds. 11-year-old character, 11-year-old actress. Chelsea, what did you think?
My actress was in I, Tonya, Finger Paint with Annabelle.
Wait. Annabelle, like the scary doll?
Yeah.
And then Finger Paint with her?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
What's the real name of
Annabelle
the movie?
Annabelle Comes Home or some stupid joke. Okay. It was not scary. It was Finger Paint with Annabelle.
I like it. I like your take on that.
Yeah. And then a bunch of TV appearances, but I am going with McKenna Grace.
Okay. Gotcha. I recognize that name for sure. It's hard, y'all.
She's going to be in the new Ghostbusters.
Afterlife. Yeah. That looks good. Looks better than I expected. Sean, would you agree?
There's actually Red Letter Media did a neat little discussion about it, how they think that they're intentionally keeping that trailer looking rooted in reality and low key to distance it from the 2016 girl Ghostbusters. And it's actually funnier than the trailer lets on. Right now it looks more like Tremors than it does Ghostbusters.
Is it safe to say that those kids are Egon's kids?
One of them is, for sure.
Okay.
The girl.
The girl, right. All right, so my pick, I went with, keeping in mind, Zoe Saldana was my pick.
Zoe Deschanel.
No. She is 12 years old, and she has, speaking of the Disney stuff, she was on the Disney Channel's Liv and Maddie briefly, Disney's Stuck in the Middle. She was in A Bad Mom's Christmas.
Stuck in the Middler.
She was in A Bad Mom's Christmas, but there's a bit of cheating on my part. She played young Gamora on the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Actually, there you go.
Avengers Infinity War. It's Ariana Greenblatt. So
okay.
She's the dead ringer, and somebody else did my work for me.
Somebody, I was thinking about some low-hanging fruit for the older Bette Midler. Her daughter, Von Hausberg, or whatever her last name is, bears a striking resemblance to her. She's also an actress, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it, man.
Good for you.
All right, my Marcy Leeds, my 11-year-old Hillary Whitney, is 14 now. She was in Creeped Out. She was in Dino Dana. She was in Lay Them Straight, which sounds like way different than I bet it is.
Sure.
And then she's also in The Odd Squad. Her name is Olivia Presti. Olivia Presti. All right, what else do we need to say about Beaches?
Everyone should watch it.
I have spoken.
The prices are lower in the winter. You can probably get a pretty good deal on a motel. not as crowded.
Right.
So, all right, yeah. So with that, we're going to go ahead and go to intermission. Not before we say,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves
a rose.
Sure.
Okay.
That'll work.
All right, Chop Shoppers. Thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis. And I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under review.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it. And multiply.
A podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is at Cinema Chop Shop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome back, Chop Choppers. Thank you for bearing with us during the intermission. I had to go pee in the rain, but it's okay. I was born in the rain. And when we come back from intermission, what do we like to do, Sean?
We're going
to
do some beer check-ins.
All right. And what is our first one?
Well, we're kind of stretching for themes here, but I went with Never Sunny by Revelry Brewing out of Charleston. We may have checked this in before.
I think we have.
But Revelry's logo is a bugle.
Yes, it is.
And all their tap handles are bugles. And since we're talking about the boogie-woogie bugle boy,
so
it seemed like it was appropriate.
I think I might have mentioned this before on the show, but it's very confusing to me because the song that people play on the bugle Revelry. Is Revelry, but they named their brewery Revelry, but their tap handles and their logo is a bugle.
I was confused too.
So, good beer though, and a good place to go hang out in Charleston.
Great brewery, good bunch of guys. This is not quite cold enough.
It's fine. Yeah, it's good. Well, while we enjoy that, we're going to go ahead and get into our 2019 movie marathon. And as of today, it is the 347th day of the year on this recording. And I'm up to date, you guys.
Yay!
I've got 347 movies under my belt. I've seen a movie for every day of this year so far. Sean, what are you on?
392.
82, still. Way ahead.
I slowed my roll a little bit.
You're 35 ahead of the date, so I think that you have not slowed any roll. So what is going to be your first check-in of the week?
I'm going to follow on the heels of your check-in. I finally watched The Irishman.
Okay.
This great...
How many sittings?
It's this great mini-series on Netflix. I think it was, for me, about 2.5 sittings, maybe. Special effects aside, I don't give a single shit about the characters or what happened to them in this film. I don't care about Jimmy Hoffa. I don't care about who killed Jimmy Hoffa. I found the dialogue to be extremely rambling.
So not a recommend, huh?
Anna Paquin staring at stuff.
Yeah, that's a note of controversy. She only had one line in the film, but apparently that was deliberate.
I don't care. It's 3.5 hours I'll never get back. And I like Scorsese. I mean, go back and listen to our Scorsese episode.
Did you ever see the movie Hoffa?
Yeah.
With Jack Nicholson. Yeah. And Danny DeVito, directed by Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I don't...
Frequent collaborator with Bette Midler.
Oh, something in the water.
All right, so that's your check-in for that. Not a recommend. My first one is going to be number 339. It's a movie that's been on my list for a little while. Finally got around to seeing it. It's called Bodied. This is a clever rap battle dramedy about, rap battle freestyle culture. And it was produced by Eminem. And my review was that it has some things to say about the power of words, cultural appropriation, and facades. And by facades, I mean putting on a front.
Fronting.
Yes. So the basic premise is we've got this kid who is a grad student writing his thesis on the use of the N-word in hip-hop. And so he's obsessed with these rap battles, and he goes to them a lot and gets kind of involved in them and becomes like a battle rapper, but also at the cost of friendships and whatnot. There's a lot of irony in the film, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Cool.
Next up for you.
380. It's a film from 1937 called Black Legion.
Okay.
This is a little bit of a preview of an upcoming episode we're going to do about secret society films. As relevant today as it was in 1937, Humphrey Bogart joins a Klan-like outfit to get the promotion he felt he deserves and falls deeper and deeper into the thick of xenophobia until he finds himself in over his head. You know, this is interesting because how marginalized African Americans were at the time, the Klan was really more about foreigners, the foreign menace, people getting our gerbs.
Right.
As some people like to say still today. Bogart was he was going for a shop foreman at his job. Somebody gets the promotion. He gets a little sore about it. Somebody kind of says, hey, let me tell you about some friends of mine. And he finds himself in the outfit. Murder happens. And he gets in trouble.
Murder.
And he's in truly over his head. And it's a great film, and I can't wait to talk about it in a few weeks.
Sounds good. All right, next up, I've got The Last Hangover. This was number 340 for me. It's from 2018. I believe it is on Netflix right now. And it is a hilariously sacrilegious Brazilian comedy from the comedy troupe Porta dos Fundos that matches up the plot of The Hangover with The Last Supper.
Is this the gay Jesus movie that I've been hearing about?
I mean, he's not gay, but they definitely like get weird.
Okay, because I was reading about this movie that a lot of groups were upset about because it cast him in a not so masculine light.
No, I don't think this is the same thing.
Might be. Oh, there's another one out there.
I think that's something different because I mean there definitely is some shenanigans.
Okay.
But nothing to that effect. Really, really funny though. And like the idea of you know, the premise of The Hangover being applied to the gospel of The Last Supper. Really funny.
Cool.
Really funny stuff.
My last check-in will be number 382. It's Marriage Story.
Ah, okay. Ooh.
This is the Adam Driver, Scarlett Johansson film that's getting a lot of awards talk, and rightfully so. There's so many good things in this film. Adam Driver is amazing.
Okay.
In this movie. I wasn't 100% on board with the storyline. It seems a bit contrived in terms of them delving into divorce.
Is it like Kramer versus Kramer?
Not so much. A little bit, but not so much. It has more to do with career-driven people.
Okay.
And how marriage kind of suffers as a result of that. But it has Julie Haggerty in it from the Airplane films.
Okay.
The stewardess. I'm sorry, flight attendant. She's
Merle Haggerty's little sister. No.
She's amazing. She's 64 years old, and she is beautiful still. And she's so funny in this movie. There are some funny scenes in this. One of my favorite actors, Rich Fulcher, is in it briefly as the judge, and that made my day. Laura Dern gives a tremendous speech about the unfair standard that is applied to mothers by the courts, how mothers have to be impeccable, husbands can be schlubs.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a great dialogue about that. There's a scene where he has a supervised visit from a court-appointed woman to basically evaluate both of the parents, but his fitness as a father.
Right.
And there's this reference to a knife thing that the son brings up, and it's one of the funniest scenes I've seen in film. I was breathlessly laughing at the screen, and it's probably because I have a sick sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might not find it as funny, but I could not stop laughing. Just tremendous. And then there's
red flag.
Anyway, I liked it. I thought it was a really good flick. I felt that Scarlett Johansson, however, wilted in the shadow of Adam Driver.
Okay.
I don't think she's as good of an actress as he's as good of an actor.
And they're both at the peak of their careers right now.
I think he just made her look amateurish.
All right. So I've got one more. Mine is going to be number 342. It's called Humor Me. Another one that's been on my list that I got to check off. It's from 2017, And it stars one Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords as a down on his luck but previously successful playwright whose wife has lost hope in him and left him and taking the kid. He's forced to move in with his wisecracking father, played by Elliot Gould, in a retirement community. And so he gets roped into directing the community theater production of Mikado at the senior home. It's really funny.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, just the on-screen chemistry between Elliot Gould and Jemaine Clement is fantastic.
That's cool. Yeah. We're going to do one more beer check-in before we jump to our next segment. This is by Evil Twin Brewing.
Oh, like a gypsy brewer?
Exactly. The reason it's on theme is Yeppe is a gypsy brewer, meaning he does not have a brewery that he calls home. He guest brews at various facilities. And I'm not too enthusiastic about this one because I generally don't like his IPAs, but it is called That's the Kind of IPA That Makes You Wish You Spoke a Little French.
Hmm. So is it like IPA Saison?
I don't know.
But we're about to find out.
Why don't you throw your glass over here?
All right, a little bit more information about the 2019 movie marathon. This is where we try to see as many movies as we can throughout the calendar year. I check mine in on the Cinema Chop Shop handle on Twitter, and Sean, yours is on A Windowless Van.
That's correct.
A Windowless Van on Twitter. We're going to go into the second part of our feature segment, which is The Recast Continued.
Part two.
The Rose.
Redux.
It's The Rose, you guys.
Joy. The tears. The highs. The lows. The Rose. The heart. The soul. The rock and roll. The loneliness. The Rose. The power, the fame, the anger, the shame, the love, the pain, the rose. A remarkable performer in a remarkable motion picture debut. Bette Midler is the Rose.
From 1979, it's got a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's directed by Mark Rydell. He also directed The Cowboys. The John Wayne movie from the 70s. You're not cow men, you're cowboys. Also, he directed The River and On Golden Pond and For the Boys with Bette Midler. I'm seeing some faces here, guys, about that beer.
Yeah. This has that same, chalky...
Once again, Yeppe has brewed an infected beer. This has the taste of Werther's Candy.
Yep.
Butterscotch. Mm-hmm. Buttered popcorn.
Shouldn't have that.
No.
Diacetyl?
Yep. You named it.
In The Rose, we've got Rose, played by Bette Midler, who was a passionate 1960s rock star who pours herself into every performance despite her demanding manager, Rudge, played by Alan Bates, who encourages her to tour excessively. While singing is her greatest love, the rock and roll lifestyle takes its toll on Rose as she succumbs to drug and alcohol abuse. Only Rose's kind-hearted boyfriend, Dyer, played by Frederick Forrest, tries to save her from falling victim to her own success in this drama that is oh so loosely based on the life of Janis Joplin. Chelsea, thoughts on The Rose?
I haven't seen this movie in a long time, but I watched it with my mom a lot, and I super love the song The Rose.
Gotcha. Speaking of that song, when I was in, I guess it would be the equivalent of middle school, maybe elementary school, our music class, we sang the song The Rose. Some say love.
I just view you as Napoleon Dynamite, like doing the sign language as you're singing it.
Yeah, absolutely. That was more accurate than you know.
See, this is my issue with Bette Midler movies. By and large, most of them are vehicles to sell.
Built around her songs.
They're vehicles to sell albums. And in this particular case, The Rose, you've got to sit through the whole movie
the whole album
to get through to hear her sing it as the credits roll.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even part of the story at this point.
So it made you real mad, huh?
This movie infuriated me.
So you know every rose has its thorn, Sean.
I know.
We're going to get into recasting it. We've got Mary Rose Foster, played by Bette Midler, a.k.a. The Rose. We've got Rudge Campbell, her overbearing and greedy, gruff manager.
British manager.
Played by Alan Bates. Then we've got Billy Ray, played by the late, great Harry Dean Stanton. And he's a country singer who basically publicly shames The Rose.
Yeah, he tells her, don't sing my fucking songs no more.
Yeah. And then we've got Houston Dyer, the limo driver turned boyfriend, played by Frederick Forrest. All right, let's get into it. First up, we've got The Rose, played by Bette Midler. She was 34 at the time. Chelsea?
It's really funny, the conversation that you guys had earlier, because my actress was in Mad Max, Divergent, The Batman. I pick Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz. She's going to be in the Batman.
Excuse me.
Yes. Get it straight. We got a lot of nerds who listen to this.
No, that's an interesting take.
I like it.
Well, she's an actual kind of hippie, vibe. Yeah.
A modern day.
And her father is a musician.
Yes.
So I don't know if she sings herself.
I'm really not sure, but I feel like she probably could.
All right. So, Sean, what are you thinking?
My actress is 33 years old, and she can sing. It's known. It is true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She was in Prom Night. She was in Hairspray.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in all the Pitch Perfect movies.
Yeah.
Her name's Brittany Snow, another ginger.
Yeah. I looked at the Pitch Perfect cast.
And I like her a lot anyway, so maybe I'll watch this movie the second time around.
All right, well, I went with kind of a theme for mine, but I'm flipping the dynamic a little bit. So my actress / singer is 33 now as well. She was in Machete Kills. She was in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. She was in Muppets Most Wanted. And she was also in a little film called A Star Is Born.
Ew.
It's Lady Gaga.
Say it correctly.
Lady Gaga.
Thank you.
She's going to be my Rose. And I think she kind of brings the Jewish flavor and the don't give a fuckness.
Yeah.
Right?
I like it.
All right. Next up, we've got Rudge. Rudge Campbell, played by Alan Bates, who was 45 at the time. Chelsea?
I literally just cast him because I don't like him.
Hmm.
He was in stupid movies because he's stupid.
Is that the name of the movie?
Probably. Justin Theroux. I can't.
The Prime Minister of Canada?
No. How do you say? That's Trudeau.
Oh. Justin Theroux.
Yeah. Yes. Who was with like Jennifer Aniston and then they got divorced.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
I don't like him. There is something about him. It drives me nuts. I can't stand him.
Okay. So, yeah, you hate him, so you put him in a role that you hate.
Yep.
I like it. All right.
I got 45 years old. My actor's 51 years old. And what I liked about this character, though, he had that really over-the-top cartoonish kind of persona as the manager. And he chewed up a lot of scenery. And I think this actor could slip into his native Australian accent and really emulate some of the same. He was in Chappie.
Okay.
He did a voice in Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
I like that movie, too.
I love that movie.
He was in Les Mis. But most people know him as Wolverine. It's Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Hugh Jackman would be great.
I really wanted to go with Kenny Powers.
But
I didn't.
What's his real name?
Yeah, that's his name. But I didn't. I went with an actor who is 44 now. He had his breakout role in Wet Hot American Summer. He was in Kitchen Confidential, based on an early memoir by Anthony Bourdain. Memoir. He's in Midnight Meat Train.
Nice.
That's my favorite sex position.
He He was also in A Star Is Born. It's Bradley Cooper. See how I flipped the flipped the dynamic? He's the greedy manager and she's the... Anyway. All right, next up, we've got Harry Dean Stanton as Billy Ray. He was 53 at the time. Just to switch things up a little bit, Sean, give us your Billy Ray first.
With pleasure. My actor is 67 years old. But he has played a bit of a cowboy slash country kind of guy. In,
do you think that 67 is old?
No, no, no. He's just older than Harry Dean Stanton was at the time. But he's most known for his musical talent as a composer and doing soundtracks. However, he was in that Sean Penn movie, This Must Be the Place. He also was in the film True Stories. He happened to be the director as well. It's David Byrne.
I love it.
David Byrne is your recast for
That's funny.
The Harry Dean Stanton character.
Like it. I could totally see him do it too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And he would be good in the scene where he chews her out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Chelsea?
That one is hard to follow because I just saw this actor come up when I was looking, and I was like, it would be funny to see him yell at Zoe Kravitz.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a musician. He was in School of Rock, King Kong, and Nacho Libre.
Yeah.
I picked Jack Black.
Nice.
I just want to see that.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be really fun. All right, well, my actor... He's pretty old. He's 75 now. He was in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. He was in Fatal Beauty. He was in Sibling Rivalry. And he also has a medium, middler to small role in A Star Is Born. It's Sam Elliott.
Nice. I love it.
Sam Elliott is going to be my Billy Ray. All right, we got one more. We've got the boyfriend, the limo driver, Houston Dyer, played by Frederick Forrest. And what was the other role you pointed out earlier?
That he was the owner, the white supremacist owner of the Army Surplus Store in Falling Down.
Oh, yeah. That solid movie.
Memorable.
But very, very disturbing film.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and go first with mine.
Good.
Because I've already kind of revealed my theme a little bit. I went with an actor who's 30 now. He was in Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. He's in The Cold Light of Day. He's in Tracers. He was also in A Star Is Born as Rez Gavron. His name is Rafi Gavron. And if you, I don't know if you guys can see this, but he's got a little bit of a face value thing that he can do on the boyfriend there. All right. Next up, Chelsea.
So I really like the guy in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked somebody that I liked this time. And I went with the Mandalorian himself, Pedro.
Pedro Pascal. Nice. I have not seen the most recent episode yet. I plan on watching it after I make that pizza. All right, Sean.
All right, closing it out. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that David Keith was in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Keith David?
Oh, David Keith.
Okay.
Very young David Keith, but it was still enough to detract from the quality of this film. As he does with everything in life.
Tell us more.
When he gets in a car, it gets a flat tire. When he orders fast food, it comes out cold.
He's the kind of motherfucker that'll fart in the bathtub and eat the bubbles. So continue, Sean.
How do I continue now? Okay. Oh, man. All right. So I went with an actor who is 37 years old, a little bit younger. He was in the film The Virgin Suicides. He was in Sleepers, Ruins, and The Hostage. But he got on my radar as Loki Lysmith on American Gods.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Jonathan Tucker, and he also has a little bit of a face value as well.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I need to catch up on American Gods. I think I'm several episodes
behind.
I did
not like the second season. I lost interest.
Maybe that's why.
Well,
maybe
they lost their showrunner, so it kind of suffered.
Stands to reason. Recommends or not recommends going around the panel? Chelsea, The Rose?
I have not seen this movie in a while, so...
You have a nostalgic recommend?
Probably, just to hear the song at the end.
All right, Sean?
No.
No recommend. I'm going with a solid recommend for Grandma Patty. So also saw this on VHS at Grandma Patty's house.
You can't take away from nostalgia. If it means something to you, it means something to you.
With that, we're going to go ahead and go into our final bonus segment, which is going to be a battle royale. And obviously, we're pitting Bette Midler against someone. But who do you think it's going to be?
Me.
I have hinted at the opponent throughout the evening. It's going to be Bette Midler versus Barbara Streisand.
Oh, shit.
All right. So, Sean, grace us.
Oh, no. Bette Midler.
Bette Midler, why?
I don't know. I think that she's probably got more toughness than Barbara. Mm-hmm. Barbara.
I'm going with Streisand because she's rich as fuck, and she'll just hire people to fuck Bette Midler up.
Okay.
That's what happen.
You do know that they're in a cage, and it's just the two of them.
That was not specified, but she'll...
Battle Royale.
She'll pay off the people that, like, lock the cage, so they'll let the other people in.
I think Midler's got a weight class bonus.
Rude.
No.
I don't know. Did you see Meet the Fockers?
I'm not saying she's fat. I'm saying she's got the tatas and she's gonna whip those things around like a weapon.
I actually think that they are the same person and that they're just going to like mind meld into one being and ascend out of the chamber and they both win. And they will be singing "Wind Beneath My Wings" as they rise out of the cage.
Higher than an eagle.
Yes. I want to thank the guest, Chelsea. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And anything that you feel like plugging this week?
Just trivia.
Yeah, trivia. Right Answers with Wrong Travis. We got a couple more episodes coming up this... Not episodes, weeks. A couple more weeks coming up this month. Also, want to thank the engineer, my co-host and co-producer, Sean. Thank you for doing all the things you do, buddy.
I try my best.
And sometimes we succeed. And anything you want to plug?
Well, you've already plugged the trivia show, so I want to plug a beer that's coming out next week at Seminar Brewing.
Ooh.
You were mentioning Kenny Powers. It's a East Coast, West Coast IPA using hops from either style.
What is it called?
It's called Eastbound, Westbound.
Love it.
And the logo is a beautiful, if I do say so myself, illustration of one Kenny Powers.
You showed me the other night. It looks great.
Thank you.
Very nice. Also, that Zake is back on.
Mosaic is back on. Get it while you
can. Sipping on that Zake.
So good.
Okay, so also, do you know what next week's episode is, Sean?
It's the Christmas movies 3.
The trifecta. The trace. We're going with Christmas movies volume 3. And we're going to have Joey Poole on there.
Yes.
Chelsea, are you coming on Christmas movies?
Maybe.
Only if you wear that sweater.
Hell yeah.
And I do have a trivia question. This is a sneak preview question and answer that we will also say in the third round of trivia this coming week. But what was the title of the first Christmas movie ever made? And it was made in 1898. Guesses. Chelsea?
I'm thinking.
Sean?
Birth of a Nation, Santa Edition.
No.
Trip to the Moon, Santa Edition.
Keep it simple.
Christmas.
Santa.
Santa Claus is the correct answer. Santa Claus, long before Miracle on 34th Street and It's a Wonderful Life, there was Santa Claus. Not only was this the first Christmas movie, it was also among the first movies ever made on any topic. And it was directed by George Albert Smith, a British pioneer in filmmaking, 1898.
Wow.
All right. With that, we are going to go ahead and say farewell to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for... not paying attention to how awful I sound. And please remember to watch, chop, retrofit.
Do something.